Chapter 2, text number 18. Parampada Vaishnavan Amanantita Janiti Nititi Atad Utishava Visrisha Dharatmya Mananya Sarida Hrido Kaguya Padam Kade Kade Param Padam Vaishnava Manantita those who desire to avoid his srijya, giving it up completely, duratnyam, complexities, ananya, absolutely, sarvida, in goodwill, hridha upaghuya, taking them into his heart, arha, that which is only worshipable. Padam, lotus feet. Pade, pade, at every moment. Sorry, translation. Bhajna Prabhupada. The transcendentalists desire to avoid everything godless, for they know that the supreme situation in which everything is related with the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Therefore, a pure devotee who is in absolute harmony with the Lord does not create perplexities, but worships the lotus feet of the Lord at every moment, taking them into his heart. In the Bhagavad Gita, Madhava, my abode, is mentioned several times, and according to the version of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, there exists the unlimited spiritual sky, wherein the planets are called the Vaikunthas, or the abodes of the Personality of Godhead. In that sky, which is far, far beyond the material sky, and its sevenfold coverings, there is no need of the sun or the moon, nor is there necessity of electricity for illumination, because the planets are self-illuminating and more brilliant than the material suns. Pure devotees of the Lord are absolutely in harmony with the Personality of Godhead, or in other words, they always think of the Lord as their only dependable friend and well-wisher. They do not care for any mundane creature after the status of Brahma, the Lord of the universe. Only they can definitely have a clear vision of the Vaikuntha planets. Such pure devotees, being perfectly directed by the Supreme Lord, do not create any artificial perplexities in the matter of transcendental understanding by wasting time in discussing what is Brahman and what is non-Brahman or Maya. Nor do they falsely think of themselves as one with the Lord, or argue that there is no existence of the Lord separately, or that there is no God at all, or that even beings are themselves God. or that when God incarnates himself, he assumes a material body. Nor do they concern themselves with many obscure speculative theories which are in actuality so many stumbling blocks on the path of transcendental understanding. Apart from a class of impersonalists or non-devotees, there are also classes who pose themselves as devotees of the Lord, but at heart maintain the idea of salvation by becoming one with the impersonal Brahman. They wrongly manufacture their own way of devotional service by open debauchery and mislead others who are simpletons or devotees like themselves. All these non-devotees and devotees are, according to Vishvanatha Chakravarti, Duratmas, or crooked souls in the dress of Mahatmas, or great souls. Such non-devotees and devotees are completely excluded from the list of transcendentalists by the presentation of this particular verse by Sukadeva Swami. So the Vaikuntha Palace are factually the supreme residential places called the Param Padam. The impersonal Brahma Jyoti is also called the Param Padam due to its being the rays of the Vaikuntha planets, as the sun's rays are the rays of the sun. In the Bhagavad Gita 4:27, it is clearly said that the impersonal Brahma Jyoti rests on the person of the Lord, and because everything rests on the Brahma Jyoti directly and indirectly, everything is generated from the Lord, everything rests on him, and after annihilation, everything is merged in him only. Therefore, nothing is independent of him. A pure devotee of the Lord no longer wastes valuable time in discriminating the Brahman from non-Brahman, because he knows perfectly well that the Lord, Parabrahman, by his Brahman energy is interwoven in everything, and that everything is looked upon by a devotee as the property of the Lord. The devotee tries to engage everything in his service and does not create perplexities by falsely lording it over the creation of the Lord. He is so faithful that he engages himself as well as everything else in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In everything, the devotee sees the Lord, and he sees everything in the Lord. The specific disturbance created by a dharma or crooked soul is due to his maintaining that the transcendental form of the Lord is something material. Om Jnana Tamaram Nasya Jnana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nithamina Tatsva Shri Guru Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mnurabhistam Sthapa Kamina Bhutala Swam Pradadami Nipaha Pradadami Pancha Kalpa Kri Vishra Kripa Sindhru Vyavacha Patita Nama Pavne Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, the chapter entitled The Lord in the Heart, following, of course, the previous chapter, which was establishing the first step in God realization, understanding the all-pervasive nature of the Supreme Person. Now we're also hearing a more localized aspect of the Supreme Personality of God. And we've been hearing last week about the Paramatma feature of Krishna, or Lord Vishnu. And here we're continuing to understand how the transcendentalist or the pure devotee understands this personal, the certain feature of Krishna. So here we're being given some information about the personal abode of Krishna, the personality of Krishna, and how he maintains and extends everything in the creation, whether it's in the Vaikuntha planets or the one portal of creation, which is the Durga Dhat, or the abode of Durga Devi, in which time and the three modes of material nature dominate. In this way, we can get to understand how a pure devotee never extricates the Supreme Lord or never separates the Lord from his energies. Therefore, the pure devotee always understands that everything is resting on Krishna, that the Brahman effulgence that is also perceived here in the material domain, although covered by the Mahatattva, the most material nature, nonetheless, we get to understand the all-pervasive nature of Brahman, which is stemming from Krishna's own abode, Goloka Dham, and also from Krishna's personal bodily fountains. So, by understanding this nature of Krishna, by understanding the tattva and the potencies of Krishna, we have firm understanding that Krishna is above the modes of material nature, and that his body is transcendental, although he may descend into this material world for various reasons. Nonetheless, he is not touched by the material energy. So the first point, of course, that is mentioned here in the translation is that the transcendentalists, they want to avoid anything that is godless, because they know the supreme situation, that Krishna is all pervasive, that Krishna enters into everything, Krishna maintains everything, even at the after annihilation or destruction, only Krishna remains. Therefore, the devotee understands the basis of creation, the basis of maintenance, is resting on the direct will of Krishna. Therefore, at every moment, the devotee not only surrenders to Krishna, but also does not take part in any form of mental speculation in trying to understand themselves as a part and parcel of Krishna, and also in trying to understand the cosmic creation. If one does not understand with the intelligence, of course, and with bhakti, how Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes, one only can engage in mental speculation. And we can see that there are so many speculative theories, so many so-called paths of transcendental understanding by the impersonalists and the non-devotees, in which they're trying to understand themselves, they're trying to understand the cosmos, how it came into being, how long the sun is going to shine, how long the seasons will come and go. It is all based on their mental speculation, because they are removing Krishna from the equation. They see everything that we do, or everything that is around us, as a result of the three modes of material nature. Yes, of course, the modes of material nature, they show the pattern and they engage us in certain activities, but they are not the cause of creation. Krishna, by glancing over the material or the material elements, impregnates all the living entities, injects time, and in this way, the material world functions. So, whether it's in terms of material creation or the spiritual activities in the Vaikuntha planets, which are free from anxiety, everything is running under Krishna's direct sanction, under Krishna's potency. So, the pure devotee is not interested in speculative theories. And the main disturbance, as Prabhupada says, the main disturbance or the main complexities that haunt so many persons trying to understand the Absolute Truth is the fact that they cannot understand the personality and the form of Krishna being transcendental. They do not accept Krishna as Purushottama, the Supreme Person. In the 14th chapter, this verse that Srila Prabhupada mentioned, text 27, Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are so many transcendentalists also who will let's find it. Srila Prabhupada mentions that there's also different groups of transcendentalists or even impersonalists who accept Krishna as authority, no, who accept Krishna as Bhagavan, and who accept the authority of the Vedas. However, they do not accept, they run the risk of always falling down, because they do not have information of the Supreme Person, so their intelligence is not clear. So even if they become highly advanced Brahma bodies, or like the example given by Srila Prabhupada of the four Kumaras, still their intelligence was not clear. It wasn't sharp enough for them to completely understand the person Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Their vision is not clear and the intelligence is not clear. Therefore, only when one comes to the platform of understanding Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, understanding Krishna as the cause of all causes, then one's intelligence actually becomes clear, then one's vision is proper. But so long as we remain either on the Brahman platform or even here, if we remain as Jnanis, we just focus on the super soul, our intelligence is still not perfect. Only when we approach Krishna and accept Him as the Supreme Person, accept His abode as Supreme, then our intelligence is actually here. So Prabhupada mentioned that in spite of being raised to Brahman platform, there's this chance of falling down if one is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So even if certain persons are very, very much above the modes of material nature, unless they engage in the process of bhakti or devotional service, there's every chance of falling down. That is why we hear gradual elevation. Yes, the Vedic texts do give us information about different levels of self-realization. Srila Prabhupada explains it very nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam in his prayer, where he mentions Varanti Tattva Vivas Tattva Nyakyanam Adhyayam Prameti Paramatmiti Bhagavan Iti Sachyate. So then he mentions that yes, these are all bona fide, authorized steps in God realization. However, that we can become liberated into impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma, but we never understand the personal aspect of God. So sometimes the impersonals, yes, they will accept Krishna as Bhagavan or they accept His authority, but they do not accept Him as Purushottam, the Supreme Person. So we might meet many people who will accept God as the all-powerful, all-pervasive, maintainer, sustainer, annihilator. We can appreciate God in His, you know, in nature, as we heard in the previous chapter, appreciating the universal form. But when it comes to actually understanding and accepting and surrendering to the person, Krishna, Purushottam, the Supreme Person, then some persons have a problem because they cannot accept that God can have Leela, sweet pastimes. So they accept the magnanimity, the Tattva of Krishna, but they cannot accept or fully embrace the personal aspect of Krishna, which is supreme. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that in that program. And because of that, there's so much speculation that will go on about how we ended up in the material world, how we're meant to liberate ourselves from the material clutches, and that type of speculation keeps us bound to the network of samsara. We keep having to come back again and again until we actually get to a point of accepting Krishna as the Supreme Person. And we see sometimes Krishna teaches in His famous Brahma Vimohana Leela, although Lord Brahma, the most intelligent being who heard the wonderful flute of Krishna playing, who had vision of the spiritual abode, who had darshan of the Lord, even he at some point forgot, or he didn't want to accept that this Krishna in His original form appears as He is. But therefore he performed that pastime of wanting to steal the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna and his cattle, not really understanding the potency of Krishna. So he wasn't understanding how Krishna is performing His pastimes, and at the same time everything exteriorly is going on perfectly, according to perfect time, according to the perfect season, etc. So like this, Lord Brahma was also showing by the agency, of course, in this Krishna's pastime, that yes, unless you accept wholeheartedly the personality of Krishna, we'll continue to speculate about exactly how Krishna manifests His pastimes, how Krishna manifests His original form, how He descends into the material cosmos in His original transcendental form. And if you do not understand this, of course, there's Every chance that will continue speculating about Krishna, and we will be barred from actually entering into the process of devotional service. So, the nature of Brahman, of course, is eternality, knowledge, immortality. And because we are parts and parcels of the Supreme Brahman, we also have those qualities. So naturally, the part is meant to serve the whole, and it is in that relationship or in that union that all these qualities will manifest. It is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion that all the qualities of the pure devotee will manifest to one who is sincere and to one who has qualifications. So yes, we have all these qualities of the soul within us, but only if we have the correct adhikar, if we have the understanding, then all these qualities will naturally manifest. If we do not have that qualification, of course, they will not manifest. They will remain hidden. Just like when we know the sun is very powerful, but sometimes the clouds obstruct the rays of the sun, but it doesn't mean that the sun has lost its potency. So yes, we are Brahman in nature, we're qualitatively one with Krishna in terms of our potencies. We have the same qualities as Krishna, but when we get covered by the false ego conception, all our qualities and potencies become obscured and we are unable to actually live out or portray the energy that we have from Krishna. So only when in that union of master-servant, when that is revived to all our natural qualities come up and we are once again reinstated in our constitutional position as servants of Krishna. So what is important for us is to understand that unless we have a firm grip of who Krishna is and a firm grip of our eternal relationship with Krishna, we will continue in this cycle of birth and death trying to speculate about who we are and what our goal is. So it is very important for us to have a firm understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Person. We are His parts and parcels. And the highest and the best way to try and understand this is if we approach Him, of course, through the agency of Guru, through the agency of Lord Chaitanya, we can understand Radha and Krishna. Unless we do that, it is difficult for us to try and understand Krishna as a person. So yes, our constitutional position is Brahman, and if we do not elevate ourselves beyond the Brahman concept or the Brahman platform of realization, we can fall down back into a mental state of speculation. So this is one thing that Srila Prabhupada is repeating again and again, whether it's the pseudo-devotees or the impersonalists, so long as they do not go beyond the all-pervasive aspect, which is the emanation from Krishna, of course, the indirect appreciation of Krishna, unless we go beyond that, we run the risk of falling down in terms of our understanding Krishna. With no information about Krishna in this personal aspect, our intelligence is not clear. So it becomes difficult for us to perceive of who we are in the world that we're living in. And the intelligence, of course, that we're speaking about is intelligence in Bhakti, material intelligence. Our intelligence comes from our devotion. So the purer we are, the more intelligent we are in accepting Krishna and His pastimes. So it does not require us to have so many advanced degrees or PhD levels, similar to what people are doing out there, but it is a mere fact of purely accepting the pastimes that have been given by our authorities of Krishna and engaging in devotional service and gradually realizing more and more the ever-youthful nature of these pastimes. So for us that is important. Our intelligence will come from our devotion. It won't come from studying too hard or cramming all the verses. It is good to memorize verses, memorize purport, etc. But it is, at the end of the day, it is the bhakti that will unlock the secrets of how to attain Krishna. The service attitude we have towards Guru and the Vaishnavas will reveal to us Krishna. So it's not merely an aspect of our intelligence. It is based upon Krishna's mercy and Vaishnava's mercy. So it is quite amazing that even so many schools of thought, they can come very close to Krishna in terms of trying to understand Him, trying to understand His nature. But unless this very small point, of course not so small, but this very fact that Krishna reigns supreme above Vishnu, above Narayan, we worship Krishna in His two-armed form. And it was very interesting. Last week I had a few teachers and students from Caulfield Grammar School, and one of them was from South India. And I was explaining the deities, explaining who Lord Jagannath is, Radha Prabhupada, Shishi Gauri. And as I was explaining, the kids were asking questions, and she also was making a comment that Narayan and Vishnu are supreme, that Krishna was a prince. And then, of course, I had to tell her a few quotes from Brahma Samhita and Bhagavad Gita, and she was quite shocked. She perceives herself as a Hindu follower, whatever that means, but she had no idea of what Bhagavad Gita was saying. So she didn't know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she was appreciating everything about the culture, the this, that, the prasadam, but this very simple fact that Krishna is the Supreme out of all living entities, that we worship Krishna, the Hare Krishna temple, we accept Krishna as Supreme. We respect all the devatas, of course, and we have a clear understanding of the Chaturvyuha, the different avatars of Krishna, but we know they have their place. So in that way, it was an indication to me that we should be firm in our understanding even when people propose doubts. At some point I was thinking, how am I going to answer her? Should I kind of say, yes, Narayan Vishnu is all the same person? But I thought, no, it is proper to make a clear distinction so that people can understand the supremacy of Krishna in totality. So just as we have to understand Krishna, we also have to understand Krishna's abode. And in this purport, it is mentioning how Krishna's mind dharma, it does not require any sun for illumination or the moon for illumination. And Krishna's planets, the Vibhuta planets, they are self-effulgent. Krishna Himself is providing effulgence and different parts of different commentaries. Bhujan Prabhu is mentioning how even the pure devotees, they are so effulgent. The spiritual world is fully effulgent. It is free from the lapse of time which degenerates, takes away the youthfulness, it takes away flavor, it takes away freshness. However, time there is eternal and it increases all these aspects. So even Krishna's Madhava, His supreme abode should be understood. It is beyond heaven. It is not a heavenly place. It is a place that is Chintamani. It is made of various jewels, gateways, arches. It is splendorous. It is free from the six waves of material suffering. It is self-illuminated. The list goes on. So this is Krishna's Goloka Dhara, His abode, which is a non-material abode. So it also should be understood perfectly. It shouldn't be speculated upon. It might be like this or it might be like that. The facts are given there and we accept the facts as truth. Now, one of the big arguments these days, which is being put, of course, by the atheists, is that you take all your knowledge from the Vedas, and the Vedas are man-made scriptures. They think they're normal. They think a conditioned soul wrote down the Vedas, spoke the different literatures. But we have a firm understanding, of course, that everything is revealed in the heart of one who is pure. We understood that how Brahma, all the Chaturshloki was revealed to Lord Brahma in the heart in 4 seed verses, and then he expanded on those verses. But everything came from Krishna. All the Vedic imports were revealed into the heart of Lord Brahma by Krishna himself. And similarly, in this epic succession, everything to us is revealed by virtue of our adhikara, our qualification, our purity. And that way we can properly absorb and assimilate all these truths that have been given by the acharyas. So by practicing this process of devotional service with sincerity, not trying to be a pseudo-devotee, externally manifesting as a lover of Krishna, but internally trying to become one or merge with him, that never lasts very long, as Prabhupada mentions. It's only a matter of time that you fall down again if we have that mentality. That we should always strive for understanding who Bhagavan is, the topmost form of realizing the absolute truth. And that, for us, is easily available by the process of devotional service. So our real peace and our spiritual sanity is achieved as we practice the process of devotional service. This is the only way we can actually attain more peace. And if we are not in connection with Krishna, if we're not in union with Krishna, we're always agitated or perplexed about the wanderings of this universe, about our existence, which always leads us to mental speculation because we do not have any facts. We're basing it on material science, we're basing it on a conditioned body, on a conditioned mind. So the effects of the acharyas and the Vedic texts gives us sanity. The words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, as it is, they give us sanity and they do not leave any room for speculation. Therefore, it is highly important that we embrace the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Srila Prabhupada's purpose, as mentioned earlier in the second canto, that one should study the sacred texts like Srimad Bhagavatam with great seriousness, and that part of that seriousness and attention, I remember the Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was saying, we're attentive to Srimad Bhagavatam when we accept the truth that has been revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how we worship Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is how we give our attention to Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not merely an opportunity to just flick the pages. So, I'll just read the translation again. The transcendentalists desire to avoid everything godless, for they know that supreme situation in which everything is related to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Therefore, a pure devotee who is in absolute harmony with the Lord does not create perplexities but worships the lotus feet of the Lord at every moment, taking them into his heart. I'll stop and ask if there are any comments or questions. Is not fit for a gentleman or a gentlewoman. So yes, there's danger in every step because there's every danger of sliding down into the lower species of life. Material existence means we are infatuated with the eye and mind propensity, which ties us to bodily designations. So it is dangerous in that sense that we lose or we forget our original constitutional position The longer we stay in the material world, the thicker and the more condensed this false ego is. So a devotee, although living in this material world, uses knowledge from Shastra to enlighten and to keep one properly aligned with the goal of life. So yes, it is dangerous in another sense that it is not a safe place. Devotees do get attacked, they get sick, you know, there's so many issues in this world. However, a devotee always understands that ultimately all this is meant to make me realize that this material world is not a comfortable place and I should get out. So that is the proper vision or the proper understanding a devotee should have, that this Durga Dham, she stands with three tridents and is three modes of material nature which agitates the living entities and which are always striving for supremacy. And most people in Kali Yuga, they are driven by the mode of ignorance. Mode of passion is a, when they get a bit elevated, they become passionate. But their passionate acts are meant to help them become more ignorant. Kali Yuga is mainly the mode of ignorance. And the mode of passion helps them achieve their ignorant state. So for us, we should understand it is not fit for habitation. We are like fish out of water. The material world, it is not a comfortable situation. So yes, we might have a few reversals here and there. It is part of accepting a material body. A material body means we will have Adi Atmika, Adi Bhautika, and Adi Devika. We are not far from those things, but it is how we transform our reaction in those situations. We always see Krishna's hand. We do not remove Krishna from the equation, but as soon as we do, we'll speculate about his mercy, we'll speculate about his compassion. If there's an earthquake, we'll think there's no God, how can this be happening to me? Or if there's a riot, or if there's a coup in the country we live in, we'll think God is evil, God is harsh, he hates us, why is this happening to us? But if we have spiritual vision, we understand the reactions that the geographical situation brings upon us, or our own individual situation, it is meant to make us Krishna conscious and relinquish the desire to be comfortable in this material world. So the danger at every step is meant to remind us that no, we are not meant to be comfortable here.
I'd like to know why some people strongly believe that God is impersonal. Is it because they don't have to refer to scriptures, or is it because of their contamination that they had that forces them to think like that?
Why some people do not want to accept God as a person? It is ultimately it's envy, but they will not say they will not come out and say I'm envious, therefore I do not accept God. The root cause of it, yes, is envy, that we do not want God to have the same activities we have. We want to be the only ones who get married and have consorts. But God, he shouldn't. He's just the creator, maintainer. Let him be far away and, you know, oblivious and far to reach. That is God. Keep him out and we'll do our business, and he's meant to facilitate our business. We don't know who he is, what he looks like. He just provides everything. So because we have a very envious nature, we want to lord everything over. We want to control. We want to have this intense Ishvara, or we have this Purusha Bhava, we want to be the controllers, the centers of everything. Any thought of having a supreme controller, maintainer, it rubs us the wrong way. So we become, the more we hear about it, the more envious we become. And that is why people term themselves as atheists, or they just believe in the energy, because they become so cold and so envious of Krishna that they do not want to perceive that God can have supreme pastimes and qualities. And I have a friend who loves everything about Krishna consciousness, but does not accept Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, she doesn't want to practice because she cannot accept that Krishna can have cowherd boys, he can have gopis, he can have a mother and a father. Only we should have these things. So if the root cause is envy, our envious nature, we want to be the lords and masters, and we do not want Krishna as God to be able to do this in a supreme way. Only Krishna can deal with the opulences, actually. In this material world, anyone who gets any opulence, whether it's wealth, fame, or beauty, they become extremely bewildered by it and they cannot control it or deal with it. When they become really beautiful, then it goes to their head, then they get anorexic or they get attached to having a big buff body. If they're a male figure or if they're wealthy, they buy any piece of land and, you know, it's, no one can deal with the opulences. Only Krishna knows how to deal with opulences. So the root cause is envy. They don't want to accept that Krishna can do what we do much better and in a pure state. Okay, thank you very much. Grandpa, Srimad Bhagavatam.